Because now when you have a marketing activity, it seems a siloed activity. When you have a sales activity, it seems a siloed activity. Then you have delivery. Then you have customer service if something goes wrong, right? No, no. How about we change the linguistics for small business? Hey, how about you engage with your prospects who then become customers when they transact? Then you keep engaging with them and you have more transactions.
Plug into the minds of the world's cutting-edge innovators, visionaries, and thought leaders who are rewriting the rules of sales and success. It's your time to make an impact. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Selling with Love podcast. I have a guest that's going to come here to share about how to design an incredible lifestyle, how to have success, the right skills, and seeing where sales plays an important part to getting you what you want in life, where it's getting closer to your purpose, making sure you are following your heart and doing something that brings joy in your life. The man himself is Paul D'Souza. He has been someone with a background that isn't your traditional corporate path, started by studying religion, spirituality, mysticism, practical psychology, philosophy, has went out and became a master in martial arts, traveled the world, healed people, and then integrated the element of sales into his life, where he could continue to bring healing and abundance to the world, but also impact people in the business world, and has even written the book about The Market Has Changed, Have You? Sales Strategies That Work. We're going to talk about philosophy, sales, and business, and so much more in the conversation with Paul today. Paul, welcome to the show.
Oh my gosh, fantastic. So, thank you so much. So good to be here. As we just met, I just find there's so much synergy. So looking forward to this conversation.
This has been like one of the wildest discoveries. So I have to tell you all how we got connected, because I was on an onboarding discovery call, a sales call with EXO. I mean, I just had a conversation with Salim. You might have heard the episode we had a few weeks ago. And I started being curious about EXO, and then I jumped onto a sales call. It was a webinar. Paul was the host. He's the sales director, and I jumped in a little early. So we started chatting, and I realized he has a background in sales. He's written a book, and I was like, you know what? I had this impulse. I was like, Paul, I don't think I can stay for the entire session, but I'm going to reach out. We're going to get on a conversation. I need to discover more. And by no surprise, I was so impressed by the background. This is the conversation. So Paul, like, mysticism, sales, how does that get connected?
Totally. By the way, I just have to make a mention of, you said Salim, right? Salim and I go back to 1999, 2000 in New York, when I was doing healing workshops in Westport, Connecticut, and Park Avenue, and Wayne, New Jersey, and stuff like that. So we go back a long ways on the healing path. And then I came full circle around and said, hey, what are you doing? He said, I wrote a book. I said, I wrote a book too. And then I realized, like, oh shit, you did really write a book. And he's done such tremendous work in the market. But you know, the essence, the foundation is in this perspective of service, this element of service. Salim's work with OpenEXO is, the first attribute is MTP, the massive transformative purpose, right? Which has an element of service. It's not just, I want to make a lot of money, right? Now, that's where the salesmanship comes in. Because whenever there's an element of service, now you've got to reach out. You've got to increase your capacity to act, to fulfill on your purpose, right? A single mother asking Tommy to eat his veggies, his little boy, is like, hey, do you want to be like, you know, I'm dating myself, Boomer Esiason, quarterback Cincinnati Bengals, right? Right? I went to school in Cincinnati. Then he's like, oh, yeah, right? And now you're future pacing that kid to be like an athlete or superhero he wants to be. I submit a sale has been made. So whenever you decide, like, I want to do something, I care about something, I care about somebody, you've got to help influence them into a better future. That's what love and care is about.
It's so funny because this is the essence of what I'm trying to get people to understand time and time again, every time we have these conversations around selling with love. This is truly what this is all about. And I'd be curious if... is this something you discovered and got into by following the sales methodologies, or is it something that you connected with more in your earlier work when you were working in religious, spiritual, mysticism types of realms?
I think I put myself in the category of being born a salesman. You know, it's just in my gene. I grew up in India, right? The very well-connected family. I was always the black sheep. You know, I was always doing things I wasn't supposed to do. But I had very good interpersonal relationships. But I realized as a salesman, because people would always come to me and ask me to help them with the problem they had. And I would solve the problem. And then they would be grateful. And then they'd come back and I'd solve another problem. Right? Because I always had this element of service, but I was undisciplined. I was a naughty boy. I was a street kid. Right? But I was always helping people. And I realized there's this cadence, this ability to listen. There's this ability to serve, this fearlessness to say, how can I help? This fearlessness to say, I'm noticing a problem. How can I help? I'm like, oh my gosh, how did you notice? Right? That's ask better questions. And then when I came to the U.S., I was a social worker. I worked for Travelers Aid, Director of Social Service. I have a master's degree in social policy planning. I was the assistant lobbyist for the United Way during my internship. And I realized it was so problem solving. And then when you have a patient, you do intake. It's problem solving. What's going on? It's no difference to business and sales. And then when I was selling, I moved up. You know, I made only so much money as a social worker. Then I realized I like fast cars and pretty girls and salsa dancing. So I ran a salsa nightclub in Cincinnati, you know, and I got around. But then my first sales job was selling chicken, seafood, and steaks door to door in the hills of Kentucky. Out of a white truck, you know. And then I sold, you know, credit counseling services. And I moved up and up and up. And then I went into hospice. And as a salesperson, selling hospice services to 70 nursing homes in the hills of Georgia. From Toccoa to Dahlonega to, you know, Gainesville, Georgia. It's all sales, but it's in the context of solving problems. That's just a choice, right? My path.
Well, it's something that I'm constantly seeing. So you speak to a lot of small business owners with an intention to serve, right? Like most people that are small business owners are coming in from the right place and the right heart. But sales is still something that seems is demonized, seems extremely hard, and often even feels like it's the most disaligned to the service that they want to provide. What's going on?
Disingenuous.
Yeah.
Well, because unfortunately, there's a lot of shenaniganery in the world, you know? You know, I define, when I teach sales, you know, stop, five S's. Stop selling, start supplying solutions. Right? And have the humility to ask, how can I help? What's going on? Now, can you coerce a transaction? Yes. And that's the easy path. Right? Can you seduce somebody with a discount? Yes, that's the easy path. Can you razzle-dazzle? Yes, that's the easy path. It will get you the first transaction, but it may not get you the second transaction. And now, but if you want to grow a business, you want to drop your cost of acquisition. Remember I said this during that EXO call, right? You want to drop your cost of acquisition, and you do that by building a solid relationship of trust. And you, like the Native Americans say, you do a good transaction, fair trade, and you close it. If you do fair trade, they want to come back to you again. Now the cost of the second sale of acquisition is way low. Your profit margin goes up.
I love that concept. And I think it doesn't get mentioned enough is that the first transaction doesn't make you the profit. It's the second one. Can you elaborate more about why that's such an important mindset to have in business?
It is because nobody wants to do business with people they don't like. A transaction is a very intimate thing, moment. Right? And so when I have a problem that I cannot solve by myself, is the only time I will step out and try to get somebody else to help me with that. There's an element of pain and vulnerability in every transaction. So the cost of doing business to even do the first time around is like, oh, hey, do you know a mechanic that you trust that I could work with? I got a leak in my car. Oh, my oil is leaking. They're going to ask somebody, who do you trust that I can can come into my circle, my world of intimacy for myself, into my home, into my kitchen to solve my water pump problem. Oh, come to my business and take some of my profit away from me. Take away food from my children. It's very intimate. That level of trust is there. Once you find the trust, there's a lot of cost that goes into finding the trust, even for the buyer, right? The cost of doing business, the buyer's like, why should I go look at, evaluate six other people? It's very costly. Let me call a trusted friend. And once everybody gets over the first cost of doing business, then the second, third, fourth, fifth, 22nd, 52nd deal is all profit and everybody wins and you start sharing in the profit, you get a better deal.
I noticed that when you work with small businesses, you're probably giving them a lot of skills to develop so they can start having this mindset and they can start putting these strategies in place. I'd be curious to know, what are some of the key things you usually see small business forget, not do good, that holds them back from having types of customers that will want to come and do more than one transaction?
You remember earlier we were talking, a lot of it is fear, right? There's something called design. It's the fear of one not knowing the competition, not knowing their true worth, not being able to ask the right questions. This is the kind of stuff I actually cover in Small Biz Fight Club. I go that extra mile and say, hey, first you know your purpose and then think powerfully. I was coaching an artist in New York City last night. She called me. She wants to join Fight Club. So tell me about it. And she was like, hey, you know, I do this thing. Every time I do a post and somebody makes a comment, just even a thumbs up on my Instagram post, I actually personally say, thank you. Right? I found that's very well. And they always come back and they never leave and some of them buy. And I said, why didn't you go the extra mile, right? And say, tell them, hey, appreciate you liking the piece and contributing to my channel, right? In my community. But let me tell you a little bit about that piece. Let me tell you the emotions I went through when I put that piece together. And now you wrap them into a story. And she's like, oh my gosh, that anchors them in the story of the art. I call that being fearful to not express yourself. Right? Remember we were talking about sales. I've reached a stage now where I say marketing, the words, marketing, the ideas, the activity of marketing and the activity of sales are prehistoric linguistic terms. We should not use them in the modern world. What it is engagement and transactions. Because now when you have a marketing activity, it seems a siloed activity. When you have a sales activity, it seems a siloed activity. Then you have delivery. Then you have customer service if something goes wrong, right? No. How about we change the linguistics for small business? Hey, how about you engage with your prospects who then become customers when they transact? Then you keep engaging with them and you have more transactions. And that's an infinity loop. It never ends. Engagement and transaction. And stop having the fear like, oh, how do I compete? What should I tell? No, if you're a restaurant, come on. There's a restaurant I'd love to get the funding and make her a franchise. Turned around, she was a waitress and now became the owner of the business. Right? And she has transcended that fear. She's like, I've never done this before. And oh, my daughter's working, my husband's working. And then he comes out, he tells the story. People are very reticent to not put their heart out there. Right? Your customers want the stories. Your customers don't want to feel like a number. Don't get past transactions, expose yourself and say, let's do this together. In that is how you transcend the fear associated with sales. Because people truly want engagement. Nobody wants to be sold, but everybody's got problems they want to solve. Right? Nobody wants to be sold.
But everyone likes to buy.
Yes, because it's solved. They have problems they want to solve. Right? They have problems they want to solve. Even if it's a luxury item. It may be vanity. It's an emotion.
I'm extracting from here the importance of crafting the stories and having an involvement in stories. But again, these are all strategies. These are all tactics. And at the root of it is all the fear. And so when someone is like, God, I've been trying to get this off the ground. I have a terror of speaking to people. I procrastinate when it comes to doing the sales activities. It feels very fear driven. What are some of the key things we should be looking at to be able to transcend that and actually get back into the place of love?
Start with yourself. So that, which is what I've been doing. Small Biz Fight Club is where I'm bringing that whole personal transformation, healing work, and then the strategy, the art and science of sales together, right? The tough reality is you've got to learn to increase your capacity to act. Unfortunately, without personal transformation, you can't solve that problem unless you hire somebody on the front end of it and say, hey, let me just restructure my, and I coach people on that as well. Restructure your model where you stay at the back and you hire a salesperson. You hire somebody else who can be client-facing. But the best way is for that small business entrepreneur, because entrepreneurs are stuck, small business or people are stuck with lack of resources. Everybody's struggling to make the maximum stretch of that dollar as much as possible. My recommendation, my invitation is for people to really focus on the strength of being who they are. We're all divine creatures, part of the universe, part of the multiverse. When you tap in, and I teach meditation and self-awareness, when you tap in, right, and connect with the stardust that makes you who you are, where there's no separation, right? My Vada philosophy that I teach is that I invented those nine principles. It's called Vada, or the way of harmony. And I teach you to connect with the fear of being a drop of water in the ocean and then merging to be the ocean itself. That transformation creates a beautiful space of possibility.
There's a quote is like, comparison is the thief of joy. I think that's the quote. And there's one thing that, you know, okay, I'm listening to this. I'm like, this is great, Paul. This is great, Jason. But I feel like I'm not like you, Paul. I'm not like a naturally born salesperson. I'm not like you, Jason, getting excited about sales. There's this draw to try to change myself to be like X salesperson to have more success. What's going on there?
Honor the weakness and fill the gap. It's okay. Honor yourself. Honor yourself. That has to happen first. And if you say, here's my line, right? And we all have different frequencies. Then fill the gap. Like, my strength is not the ops. So for Small Biz Fight Club, somebody call me. And I just loved whose energy, loved who was talking about. We've been building this friendship back and forth for 45 days or so. And I'm like, hey. And I told him about Small Biz Fight Club. He said, man, I want to start a community. I'm an ad guy. I'm a marketing guy. And I didn't know how to go about it. And he said, can I partner with you? I'm like, please. It's my weakness.
We forget how many people actually are looking towards solving some similar problems, and how we start working together can actually start building something with a bigger impact.
Totally. For me, I say life, call it what it, life, business, sales, they're all team sports, especially sales. If you're an entrepreneur, completing a transaction, which we would typically call a sales event, is a team sport. It's tough to do, even if you're a solopreneur. I'm sure there's somebody better than you. You can leverage your time better with a VA, right? Who can do marketing for you or video clips or what have you. It's a team sport, guys. You'll be able to do much more in life if you bring the right team together.
That sounds great, especially since it feels often there's this like loneliness of the entrepreneur, and there's this like responsibility as the entrepreneur. What are some of the things you suggest for somebody who might be feeling that level of isolation and maybe some anxiety as they're building their business and maybe even keeping their struggles to themselves?
All these words you used anchored in fear. Everyone you just used, right? Honor the fear and transcend it. I can't lift. There's a piece of paper here and I'm trying to get rid of it off the table. I can't remove the fear unless I touch it. I assess its weight. I hold it. And then I do make a conscious effort to move it. Right? So we have to accept and honor, this is what I want to transcend. This is me speaking the path of the healer. So accept the weakness, accept the fear, and then say, what's the best way for me to transcend this? Do I do it myself? Or do I elevate my, I transcend it 20, 30%, hit my plateau of comfort, and then bring in somebody to fill the gap who can magnify me, right? Let me put a partnership together. That's what Salim's work is so beautiful with OpenEXO. Staff on demand, leverage assets. Those are the different attributes. Bring in other people. It's a team sport. Do more with the less of you have, but involve and enroll other people in. Now, that's why your sense of, my sense of purpose is, my why is helping people find joy. So now you enroll people in a better future, your purpose, and like, hey, let's do this together. That's why my associate now, Dean, is like, I like what you're doing. Can I hitch my wagon and my skills to your train? Come on, let's go west.
As a business owner, entrepreneur, someone running an agency, having the top tier website is very important. And you're more than likely running your business on WordPress. But are you hosting on the best platform possible? That's why I'm excited to bring Kinsta as our sponsor for today's podcast, which allows you for faster load time, top-tier security, and human-only best-in-class customer support. So if you're looking to have your website hosted on WordPress on the best platform, Kinsta really goes above and beyond to make sure your websites load fast, your SEO is working well, you get the support you need, and you get to keep focused on your business. Are you ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get the free month when you sign up at kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their website. Visit kinsta.com and get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today.
I find that when you have that sense of purpose and you're moving in a direction, it seems like the resources gravitated towards you. It's magnetic. And I'm going to keep kicking at this because I really want this to be something we handle for people that are listening here. Is like, okay, I understand I need to touch the fear to transcend it, but I'm so afraid to touch it. Why are we so afraid to touch it if we're repeating through the words here that the moment you do, you can possibly transcend it? So what's causing us to be so hesitant to touch it in the first place?
You know, life is tough. And I coach my students, why is usually a futile question to ask, you know? Did I get kicked by a horse suddenly? Did you fall off the wrong side of the bed? You know, did your mother have issues when during the birthing process? There's so much that could have contributed to the fear we have. We exist in patterns. As a spiritual healer, I've honored the impact of past life experiences. Our childhood memories. There's so much we are not conscious of that impacts who we are. And I reached the stage of compassion and acceptance. And I urge that. I present that as the solution. When somebody says, notice, but awareness is key, right? Notice what is, right? Notice your limitations, notice your fears, and then say, for the sake of my business, for the sake of my future, for the sake of my North Star, for the sake of whatever I'm committed to doing, where do I need the help? What do I need to shift? That's what Small Business Fight Club is about, is improving the skill for you to first be aware of what's important to you, and then how do I get to where I want to go? And then removing the fear, because now you're not alone anymore. I don't know why we've been socialized. It's the John Wayne syndrome. It doesn't work. Right? It's okay to quit. It's okay to ask for help. I'm sorry. The macho shit is not valid.
Well, I think the culture has permeated not only in sales, but in a lot of different fields where that is felt like that is the American way, or in any other country as well.
All, you know, India, the Philippines, or the machoism, you know, is a very real thing, but all that's anchored in fear.
Mm. You also speak a lot about how the market has changed. Now, obviously, that was the title of your book.
Oh, I could rewrite that book every year with the same title with a different set of rich issues.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, you wrote this book, what, 15 years ago? And gosh, there's been so many changes in 15 years. And it seems like now, the constant of change is just so hard to comprehend and wrap your head around. I don't want to bring it back to another level of fear frequency, but when you speak about, you know, the market has changed and I'm out there trying to build my business with something that seems like a loose foundation because change is constant. What are some of the recommendations and advice you give to small business owners who are still navigating and charting forward west?
I actually look at it without an element of fear. I think it's a fantastic time to grow a business and dance with the market, right? In the old days, we had pigeons that would send messages, and now we got AI agentic robots, right? To give you an example, so all that has changed is the cadence of, now you'll notice my building blocks, the cadence of engagement and transaction. That's the only thing that's changed. It's only getting faster, i.e. more opportunity. You see how simple that is, right? That's how it's changed. The market is giving us greater opportunities to engage and transact. Now the question comes is, for the sake of what? Who are you and what are you doing on the planet? Right? How are you engaging and how are you transacting? Welcome to business. I don't care, small, big, large. That's start, finish, end of story.
When you frame it that way, it seems like the biggest change that's been happening in the market is that you can't get away with the gimmicks. You can't get away with the nonsense. Like, it's becoming more and more closer to truth and...
Fishbowl.
The fishbowl? What do you mean?
The fish in the fishbowl, right? Everything, there's no place to hide. Right? The goldfish in the fishbowl. That's it. Everything is transparent. That's the beauty of the modern day world. We're getting to a hyper sense of authenticity and transparency in everything we do.
You know, I think that's like to come back to what we're talking about, the fear of touching, the fear itself to transcend. I think it was easier to just hide in the corner under a rock in the fishbowl before. And now that it's all exposed, oh, everything, the good, the bad, everything gets shared, everything gets exposed. And that vulnerability, I think, is probably what causes even more anxiety in business, is that you can't craft your image.
And throwing people into fear. You're right. Absolutely.
Ooh.
So it's the time for authenticity.
Well, Paul, does that mean when you're dealing with entrepreneurs, like, how much of the skills you teach are business skills versus the skills you teach are just human skills?
I have much more fun and... deals become valuable the more I spend on the human side. I just worked with a lady who's a leadership coach. She does, in the Silicon Valley, does this amazing leadership training for LinkedIn, and Adobe's one of her clients, people like that. And the first 90 days, he just focused on skill training and personality. The ability to look at opportunity, look at the market, show that fear, ask better questions, engage with the clients better. Position yourself better, design and off, all the personal stuff related to that. After the first 90 days, now we're looking at the business. Only now I'm looking at, you know, business models and, you know, CRM systems and all that stuff. And I've reached a stage where I won't even go there until I know who you are and you know who you are and we know what you're doing together so I can help you. I'm front-loading all the personal transformation. After 25 years of doing, I was selling Y2K IT deals with AIG and Chase Manhattan in New York City as a sales guy, you know, in 99 and 98. And then doing all the healing work and doing the business to supplement my healing work. I travel to Brazil and do free workshops, come back and sell data warehousing.
What a duality.
Right. And then I just love the healing so much, I just quit and I became a full-time healer.
Wait, hold on. What about doing healing for the leaders of these organizations? Isn't that like one of the key things that needs to happen too?
What's the Bible say? Ask and you shall receive, right? Stop selling, start supplying solutions. If there isn't a request, there's no transaction.
Are you seeing a shift from corporate America being more drawn towards doing the stuff like this, or is it kind of digging themselves in a hole?
I hear the lip service and the talk, and you know, when I hear people talk about mindfulness, it just, my skin crawls. They're missing the whole point. You know, it's a good step. It's sort of in the right direction, but the truth of really shifting people to find their truth. What is there, I think, is greater sense of transparency, and I really appreciate that. I think that's there. But are organizations becoming more conscious to the universal truth. I don't want to say religious or spiritual, universal truth. You know, I think there's religion, there's spirituality, and there's reality, right? I dance in the reality space, right? And the reality space is anchored in awareness and consequences.
I feel like we're in a time where there's going to be a lot of radical change happening in the world. And I'd be curious to hear your thoughts if you're seeing more of a change where large institution corporations are going to transform, or do you see a new set of entrepreneurs that will have to replace and, I don't know, if dethrone the existing powers that may be?
I don't think that dethroning is happening. I think it's getting more polarized. The powerful are becoming much more powerful. You know, look at what's happening in the US now. Look at the top 3-4 billionaires in the world are all north of 200 billion. The difference between a million and a billion, it takes 11 days for a million seconds and 31 years for a billion seconds. That's the difference between a millionaire and a billionaire, right? And there are so many billionaires that are more than 200 billion. So that's sort of the fingerprint of the planet. I mean, through life, you've had kings and slaves, right? I mean, peasants. There's no change in that. But I think what has happened is with technology, the ability for more people south of that top 1% are being able to express themselves. And there's a tremendous opportunity that they have, right? There's almost no excuse anymore, right? For them to express themselves and create and carve out a good life. I've done it for myself.
Living on the ranch with the horses?
Retirement plan was to move and live on a ranch with horses. But when the pandemic hit, I'm like, why not now? I used to play polo in Cincinnati. I loved horses. I never grew up with horses, but it was something I enjoyed doing. And like, I used to come to New Mexico, do my annual retreats for my Wado philosophy. I had students from all over the world will come. Came to Wolf Sanctuary here. So I fell in love with this area for 20 years. And it's not Santa Fe, you know, where all the fancy people go. I'm on the res. My ranch is actually checkerboard on the reservation. I don't get the mail here. I got to drive 10 miles to the trading post on the county highway through the res, and there might be wild horses on my road, and then get my mailbox and look at my mail. Mail comes there. And my FedEx goes to the trading post because they're not allowed to come on the res, right? I mean, it's crazy. But it's gorgeous and it's beautiful. And I said, this is my happy place. It was tough to get it funded. 80 people rejected me. Banks didn't know how to fund it, you know, because it's not the house to land proportion. It's quite a piece, half a section, which is 1 mile by a half mile, but 300 something acres. So I had to get it funded privately with a personal investor, right? But my point is, got to go and make it happen. I'm taking a 30-year mortgage and scrunching it to 5 years because that's what the personal guys want. Banks will give you 30 more. The personal people will not, private funding. So, you know, the thing is, it takes that chutzpah, right? That commitment to self and spirit and trust. And I have just reached a stage where prayer works because it aligns energy. It, like you and me meeting, me making a decision at the beginning of the year is like, I'm going to do a long, small business fight club, me doing my prayers, my meditations, aligning with my truth, right? I don't have a religion. I'm anchored in the connectivity of spirit. The Catholics would call it the Holy Spirit. The Chinese would call it the Tao. My Indian friends would call it Brahma. But there's something that makes us tick. There's an OS that's running in us, right? Right? It's the same OS that allows me to connect with my wild horses. You know, I start my wild Mustang horses by sitting on the ground in Seiza, Japanese style, like a samurai, and chanting the Om Mani Padme Hum chant. I go off. I get in a position and I have this wild horse running circles around, scratching the ground and huffing and puffing, and they don't attack, but they run and like, you know, try to position them in posture, right? And I go into Seiza and I go, Om, and I drop my energy. And that horse will slow down and then stop and look at you. Could take 45 minutes. Could take 30 minutes. And then I get up and then I do energy, sweep their aura, sweep their aura, sweep their aura. From 5 feet away, 4 feet away, 3 feet away, 2 feet away, then I touch. done 9 horses like that. Right? Now, that's because I'm tapping into the same OS. I call that primal communication. Oh, by the way, I use it in sales.
I was going to say, I bet that can be used in sales.
Did you notice your energy shift? Did you notice your energy shift? Right? I tap into it because, hey, guess what? We call this NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. It's a mirroring technique. Getting in rapport. Energetically. Yeah, consciously. And I'm doing it consciously now. Right? Welcome to sales.
I think you've opened up enough curiosity for people to realize that there's a lot of tools that we don't even know exist when it comes to making us better connected to others, when it comes to sales. I think that connection is probably the biggest thing that allows you to be able to make more sales, which requires you to stop being in fear. It requires you to step into that place of love, to be able to want to serve. All of these things, I think, are absolutely beautiful. And I kind of wanted to leave the conversation with a question for you. I mean, you're helping people find their joy. You're bringing them more success when it comes to their business. If there was a takeaway for people to leave this conversation and want to go out in the world and serve more, what would be something you would want to make sure they don't forget from our conversation?
Start with yourself and find your gift to share with the world. Start with yourself. Don't, how long will you make your people, your tribe, wait? How long will you make them wait? How long will you hide your light under your bushel? Stop. Get out there. Ask for help. And if I may, come to the Fight Club.
We'll put a link to the Fight Club. Make sure people that are curious can go and discover a bit more.
But that's the point, right? Do it. It's time for you to do it your way. Whatever it is, if it's making idlis in South India, if it is like the onigiri lady in Japan, right, who would make onigiris and give them to people who needed a shelter at night, and all together onigiris, right? How long will you make them wait? That's the takeaway from this whole call. There's no need. Go. Go make it happen. Go be you. Go do you, boo.
Paul, I just want to say a big thanks. I'm really, really sharing the message where people are getting the wake up. They're realizing, again, no matter what industry you're doing, sales, there's a way to do it. And it's not the way that is based in fears, more vulnerability, we're all going to be more transparent. Technology is making the cycle of engagement and transaction happen faster. As long as you discover more about who you are and you step out boldly, you'll be able to do things your way. You don't need to imitate anything else. And when you go and get curious about it, you commit to it, you'll be able to get the things you want in life. I'm very in awe with the life that you've designed for yourself as well. But I will ask you the last question I ask on the show, which is for every guest, which is, you are on the Selling with Love podcast. So what does selling with love mean to you?
I'm glad you said that, because I was wanting to say what I'm going to say now, which is be able to ask the question, how can I help? Right? And then shut up and allow the other person to start unraveling, right, where they need help. That is the essence of selling with love. Instead of saying, this is what I got. I can give you a discount. If you buy today, the next 47 hours, right? No. How can I help? It takes a mature person who knows who they are, who can then say, I can help you. Oh, that's what you need? I don't have that skill. I can find somebody else who does. Or, yeah, let's go. But have the maturity, anchor in your love, to say, how can I help? And now, listen. That's selling with love to me.
Paul, thank you for your time. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your message. And like I said, I'm going to put a link for all you listeners to go and discover more about the Small Business Fight Club so you can find your joy, discover the skills, and have the right energy to build the incredible business that makes the difference you've always wanted. It's been a fantastic conversation. I'm so glad we were able to bring this forward. Paul, once again, thank you so much for your time. This was so fun.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. God bless to you and everybody.
I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.